I've been down with a broken heart since the day I learned to speak. The devil gave me a crooked sword when he gave me crooked feet. But Gabriel then came to me and kissed me in my sleep. And I'll be singing like an angel until I'm 6 feet deep. I found myself an old man and I tattooed on a sign. I set my mind a wandering and walk a broken line. And you have a mind to keep me quiet, and although you can try, better men have hit their knees and bigger men have died.
We are listening to Brandi Carlile. The song is called Raise Hell, and in their own Minnesota way, the characters in Lorna Lenvick's new book, Once in a Blue Moon Lodge, they kind of raise hell, but in a quiet way. You know what I'm saying, John?
I understand what you're saying.
Lorna is the author of 10 novels, including the best-selling Patty Jane's House of Curl, and her new book is a sequel, Once in a Blue Moon Lodge. She'll be at the Village Bookstore this Saturday in Grand Rapids, and she is back with us now on KEXE, KBXE. Lorna, thanks for being here.
Heidi, always a pleasure.
You know, it's Thursday, but on Friday mornings we call people up and we ask them what they have for breakfast. For some reason, I'd like to know which you had for breakfast, if you have yet.
You know what? In my hand right now, I have a big, huge, foamy latte. My husband gave me a latte maker years ago. It's the best Christmas present I ever had. That's what I have for breakfast. And I go crazy at lunchtime.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this Once in a Blue Moon Lodge. Did you always know that you were going to do a sequel to Patty Jane?
I did not know that. I never assumed that I'm going to write a sequel for any of my books, but the characters kind of insisted on it. Throughout the years, they would yammer away at me, you know, reminding me, we're still here. We want more of a story told. And so I finally decided to cede to their wishes.
Well, let's talk about where we begin this story. Nora isn't quite sure what she's going to be doing with her life. She's the daughter of Patty Jane, but lay it out for us a little bit.
Where do we begin to tell this story? Well, that's right. Nora is a grown woman. She has a law degree. She's not happy. She does pro bono work, you know, little cases for the House of Curl clients. And then her, you know, feelings of what am I going to do are exacerbated when her mother decides to sell the House of Curl. So she goes on a winter camping trip to try to just think things out and meet some people who are very pivotal to the rest of her life, sort of a wild and crazy New York transplanted lodge owner and a French Canadian. And things happen up there that affect her whole life, including, and I'm not giving anything away because the book opens with Nora saying on the day her grandmother got arrested, she found out she was pregnant with triplets.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, and,
so, and then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, I was just going to say, and then we follow the lives of Nora, her triplets that come into the world, Patty Jane, Thor, all the old regular characters, as well as we go back in time to see that her grandmother, Ione, had more of a past than anybody in the House of Curl ever knew.
You know, I really like in this book and the last one, this idea of kind of salons, that women teaching each other, like the thing that they're passionate about. What are some of the classes that are at the Blue Moon Lodge?
Oh, they've got, it's run by Nora, so it's not as, you know, there's no beauty salon. They didn't want to interfere or elbow away the small town beauty shop owners. But there, you know, there's how to make a will, how to make a finished cookie, a lot of music classes because everyone in that family is, especially Harry, Nora's brother, is very musically inclined. And those good old just discussion groups, you know, where you talk about everything. And I wish they would come back, too. I wish that everybody had on their calendar, oh, it's salon night, and they didn't mean that they were, you know, getting their hair foiled.
Salon is such an excellent word.
John, I love your voice. Thank you.
So I'm
really, it just came over the airway. I mean, my phone waves very nicely.
Well, I'm glad. So I'm looking, you know, we get these promotional pieces on you and stuff, and there's one here that's got bold, and it says, where do you get your ideas? And your response is, I scavenge around and find ideas in roadside cafes, in a whiff of pipe smoke, or ripe peaches, in an autumn vista, in a song fading out of the car radio, in the stillness of my monkey mind. How long have you had a monkey mind?
I think all my life.
Really?
Yeah, but that I think that's so true. It's so hard to describe where ideas come from, and you really realize that, wow, they come from anywhere and in so many unexpected places. And actually, I think my monkey mind, which is really powerful, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning when I really need it going, that actually provides me with the most inane ideas that I never really use, because that's, you know, my monkey mind is a little nutty.
Did you know that you were going to be a writer when you were a little girl?
I did. I really learned when I learned how to read that's what I wanted to do. In first grade, I learned how to read. I'm sure you and Heidi learned in kindergarten. But it took me,
of course. Well,
took me till first grade.
But do you remember? I mean, seriously, was it just something like, boom, I know this is what I'm going to do? Even that's pretty young.
I know, but I feel it was always such a blessing because I never had to worry about what I wanted to do. And I remember vividly sitting in our little reading circle, and we were reading a book called Dick and Jane, which featured blonde, curly-haired, really dull kids who said things like see spot go, and I thought, yes, I see spot go. I want to create that kind of magic.
So we're talking with Lorna Lanvick this morning. Your new novel's out, Once in a Blue Moon Lodge, published by the University of Minnesota Press. But you haven't always been a writer. You've had a lot of other jobs.
Yeah, well, yes, I've always written, but I haven't always been a professional writer. I have always enjoyed acting as well. So I did spend my 20s in L.A., mainly doing stand-up and improvisational comedy, and then temping and waitressing to pay the bills. But I always wrote. So it took a long time for me to finally, you know, a few short stories were sold. I would write monologues for friends or some stage work, but really it wasn't until my first book, Patty Jane's House of Curl, that I actually sold it and could say that's how I make my living.
I certainly hope that Dick and Jane didn't influence your acting career.
See, puff, run. No, what influenced my acting career was the art of storytelling, certainly, but you know, watching Carol Burnett as a kid on TV or reruns of I Love Lucy and just realizing that I could grow up and try to not just act, but make people laugh on stage, which is, I still do a show at our local bar, restaurant, bowling alley called the Bryant Lake Bowl once a year, and that's always fun, and sometimes take that on the road. So performing gives me, you know, an audience and immediate response, whereas, you know, when you write a book, you really can't sit next to somebody while they're reading it and, how'd you like that? Do you like that part?
Here comes a good one. Here comes a good paragraph.
Right. I'll be quiet now so you can enjoy it.
So I understand that you had a pretty exciting temp job, one that maybe I'd be interested in. What was that?
Gee, John, I wonder which one that could have been. All bad it was when I temped at the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, my gosh. Tell us more. I mean, I don't want to get off your book, but tell us more.
Well, it's a job when my temp agent told me she was sending me to, I told her that I wasn't going because, you know, I'm a feminist. I wasn't going to go, but she assured me it was strictly clerical. So I went to Hugh Hefner's third floor of his mansion. You had to announce your presence into a rock that had a speaker, and then the iron gates would open. And all I did was type labels for the many, many, many videotapes that he watches. And this would be, you know, 15-second videotape of a playmate cutting a ribbon to open a grocery store. You know, all the minutiae of a playmate's life. I mean, not the X-rated stuff, but and his life if anybody came to interview him. And then it evolved, so I got to watch old movies because he was an old movie fan, and then write synopses. It was really fun. I worked there for almost half a year, and the waiters would come up with a silver tea service at 3 o'clock with cookies and tea and coffee. We would have free breakfast if we wanted it. We would have a lunch left over from the party buffet he held the night before. And I think they treated you so well so you'd forget where you were.
Did you ever...
And there were... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you see him? Did you meet him?
I would. He would pass me in the halls, and I would just, you know, try to make myself invisible, which wasn't hard for me because, you know, I'm more of a turtleneck woman than and he has no time for turtlenecks. But a couple times I would have to deliver tapes into his bedroom, but they always assured me he's not in there, and I would dash in and put it on his nightstand and dash out and wash my hands. But anytime I did see him, he was wearing a silk robe and pajamas and did have that cliched bottle of Pepsi in his hand.
Okay, so everybody wants to know what Hugh Hefner's bedroom looked like. Did you even pause and look around, or did you just in and out?
I tell you, I was too befuddled by the mirror on the ceiling to do anything but run.
Okay. All right, back to the book.
Okay. You okay now, John?
And I'm all right.
Actually, if I might plug a different book, Best to Laugh is the closest autobiographically I've ever written because it's about a young woman doing comedy in L.A., but this young woman does happen to work at a very Playboy-like mansion called the Rogue Mansion.
Nice.
And I just kind of wanted to honor that time in Hollywood. But yes, back to Once in a Blue Moon Lodge.
Well,
it's set up north in a fictitious town, maybe a little south of Grand Rapids. It's kind of around the, you know, the Midgey Brainerd Lakes area, kind of.
Well, a very important question. Do you make those gingerbread cookies of Ione's?
That reminds me of the question people would ask about the tall pine polka. Do I make that magical coffee? I'm a good, you know, I don't like to brag. I am Norwegian, but I am a good baker. But no, my best cookies are not the gingerbread. My best cookies are the almond crescents.
Almond crescents.
So I just let Ione have that status as the best gingerbread cookie maker.
Well, what else should we know about Once in a Blue Moon Lodge?
Once in a blue moon. Actually, I was actually trying to figure out a theme song for it. Well, it's set, as I said, in central Minnesota. I love this state so much. And I love its lakes and I love its sensibility. But I guess the book is mostly about, and I never know what one of my books is about until readers tell me and they tell me the themes. And, you know, I hear all the time, you write books about community, you write books about the power of friendship or family or the power of women, even though, you know, a lot of men read my books, John, so get to it. And I wanted to write a book that just saluted, you know, the beauty of the state and the beauty of this family in all its many foibles, who I've come to really love over the years, even though they're fictitious.
You can meet Lorna Landvik this Saturday at the Village Bookstore in Grand Rapids. She'll be signing copies of Once in a Blue Moon Lodge. Maybe taking requests. Will you be singing at all?
Who knows what'll happen? It'll be a party.
You know, we have our Mississippi River Festival. We might have 10 minutes open for you to maybe do a little bit of singing for us.
Stand-up.
Stand-up comedy,
same
perhaps.
Day.
Maybe you could read a couple paragraphs.
I'm sorry, this connection's really fading. No. No, who knows? You never know. I keep myself open.
Okay. Thanks so much, Lorna. Good to talk to you.
You're welcome, Heidi. Thank you, and nice talking to you, John.
Nice talking to you.